In California, voters on June 5th will not be voting on primary elections for candidates vying for the same seat from their own party. Rather, they will be picking a single candidate out of a field of candidates from all parties, major and minor. The top two vote winners will then move into an election race come November. The new system was put into place by voters via a ballot measure last November and could have the peculiar outcome of having two candidates from the same party face off in a general election. Also complicating the June 5th elections are newly drawn district lines. A Citizens Redistricting Commission, also empowered by a voter-passed ballot measure, has redrawn districts all across the state, in some instances forcing incumbent candidates to run against other incumbents in new districts. The Democratic Party has enjoyed a majority in California's state legislature and Senate, and also controls a governorship, but this year elections could result in the party winning a supermajority or two-thirds control of both state bodies, which could enable the passage of revenue-raising bills. My guest is Dante Atkins. He's the front page editor for Calitics.com. He is also a writer for DailyCoast.com. Welcome to Uprising, Dante Atkins.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, in talking about the June 5th elections, which certainly don't get as much attention as November elections, particularly given that there aren't any high-profile races, at least here in Southern California, not too many people are paying attention to the fact that, for one thing, districts themselves have changed because of a Citizens Redistricting Committee that has changed the way in which lines are drawn. How is that going to affect state legislature races in this June 5th election?
It's going to affect them in a very interesting way. What happened is that a couple of years ago, voters passed a ballot measure, Proposition 11, that created an independent Citizens Redistricting Commission, and that commission is now responsible for redrawing state legislative boundaries every 10 years after the census. The way it used to work is that the state legislature would redraw the boundaries themselves, which meant when the state legislature did it, they could draw things in such a way that, you know, they could make sure that each sitting legislator had a nice district for themselves and that everybody was taken care of and you wouldn't have any incumbent-on-incumbent primary battles. But when the Redistricting Commission was created, it was specifically allowed not to take incumbent the residency of existing incumbents into account. And so what's happened is, in some areas, you would have had incumbent-on-incumbent primary battles, which has actually forced some incumbents to move and try to win their seats in other districts. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is more of a partisan issue, where the redrawing of districts actually created better advantages for Democrats because there are more seats that Democrats should win. So at this point, what redistricting has really done, and Republicans aren't very happy about it, is it's created an outside shot at allowing Democrats to win a two-thirds majority in the state Senate, and a lesser chance of winning a two-thirds majority in the state legislature. And those are thresholds that are important because it still takes two-thirds vote in the state legislature to raise revenues in the state. So it's creating some vicious primary battles, but it also has created an opportunity for Democrats to expand their majority.
Another factor at play in this election is a proposition that voters had recently passed that now creates primary races where the top two vote getters in a primary race will end up on a November ballot. How has that affected the races this time around?
Oh, well, you're exactly right. When voters go to the polls on June 5th, they're going to see something different from what they've ever seen before. Normally, we're used to voting on state legislature and congressional races the same way that we deal with presidential elections, where Democrats will select a Democratic nominee, Republicans select a Republican nominee, and if you're a member of a smaller party, the Green Party, the American Independent Party, you vote in your primary as well, and all these candidates from all these parties will advance to a general election ballot. Well, it's not going to work that way anymore. When Californians go to the polls on the 5th, we now have a blanket primary, you can call it, where every single candidate from every single party will be on the top two ballot, and the top two candidates that get the highest number of votes will make it, regardless of whether they're both Democrats, both Republicans, one Democrat, one Republican. The main significant effect of this is that these races are going to be a lot more expensive for Democrats. There are a couple of primaries that are in heavily Democratic districts that are very hotly contested, and normally those Democrat-on-Democrat races would have been settled in June. But now it's highly possible that two popular Democrats in a couple of these races could advance to the November runoff, and so they're going to have to slug it out through November, which is going to deplete available resources for people to use in what would have been Democrat on Republican districts. And there are also a couple of Republican on Republican seats in more rural areas where they have the same problem. So it's going to be a very, very interesting outcome, and no one can exactly predict how it's going to work.
Has that been one factor for candidate Jason Hodge, who you've written about, who is running for the state Senate in the 19th Senate District, claiming that he is a Democrat, but records that you've helped uncover show that he is not exactly, has not at least been a Democrat for all his life?
Well, the 19th State Senate District is mainly a Ventura and Santa Barbara County Senate District, and it's one that is very hotly contested because it's a pickup opportunity for Democrats, so they're very interested in the seat. And the Democrats who are running are a former Assembly member, a progressive Assembly member by the name of Hannah Beth Jackson, as well as Jason Hodge, who is a current harbor commissioner in the city of Oxnard. And this is one of the ways in which you can see the top two primary system at work. It's a Democratic district, but not a super heavy Democratic district. And so what that means is that Hannah Beth Jackson is running more of a traditional Democratic campaign trying to court base Democratic voters, but Jason Hodge is intentionally trying to appeal to maybe a more centrist or moderate base. But in the process, it means that he's kind of throwing his own party under the bus, so to speak. He's campaigning on the idea that he's the Democrat who doesn't need to raise your taxes, and trying to use that to try to paint Hannah Beth Jackson as too liberal for the district. And business groups are getting involved with that race because they see an opportunity there. If they're going to have a Democrat in that seat, which it appears that they are, they'd rather have someone who's more conservative, like Jason Hodge, as opposed to a progressive like Hannah Beth Jackson. So they've actually been spending heavily to do anti-Hannah Beth Jackson mailers and pro-Jason Hodge mailers in that seat. And apparently, that's, you know, the way Hodge thinks he's going to win that is by rebuking the left, so to speak, and running as far to the middle as possible, trying to court conservatives as well.
Now, going back to the issue of redistricting and how it has affected some races, you mentioned that some incumbents are running against other incumbents in the newly created districts, but others are finding new districts to run in. Is that what is motivating the Santa Monica race, I believe it is, with Betsy Butler, that the Democrats are throwing a lot of money into?
It's one of the main motivating factors. The race in question is the 50th Assembly District race, which is between three different Democrats who are running. It's expected, though not certain, that the two who are going to advance out of June are Tori Osborne, who has been a progressive activist for decades on issues such as LGBT equality and economic justice. She's been a veteran nonprofit leader, and current Assembly member Betsy Butler, who represents the South Bay. Now, what happened in this race is that when redistricting happened, Betsy Butler's South Bay district kind of got carved up. And so it would have been difficult for her to to run it where she lived, because that would have been facing off against another incumbent assembly member. So Betsy Butler had to go district shopping, and she had a couple of different districts to potentially choose from. One would have been Assembly District 66, which is Torrance and the Palisades Peninsula area, which is a very competitive district. And the other would have been this current district, Assembly District 50, which is very progressive, highly Democratic. Democrats going to win the seat at Santa Monica, West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica Mountains, that whole area. And it's one of the things that is motivating people, because Tori Osborne, who's a first-time candidate, has a lot of dedicated grassroots supporters. But what's happening is that many people are supporting Betsy Butler, even though she's moving into this district and has really never represented it before. She only represents about maybe less than 2% of the district. So it's kind of creating a fight between those who say, Betsy Butler has been a good Democrat, we should support her, and those who say, wait, I don't want someone representing me who has just moved into my district, and I've got this great progressive candidate, Tori Osborne. So, yeah, it's a family feud among Democrats here in the seat.
And there's also some grumbling among Democratic supporters who see the party as spending a lot of money on these in these races where there are Democrats on Democrats, rather than in races where Democrat is facing off a Republican in a race that may be tight but could potentially be winnable if there was enough money being poured into it.
Yes, that's one of the things that progressive activists have been somewhat concerned about, is the fact that there are a couple of different races where incumbents have essentially moved into new districts and are seeking to continue their service in the legislature, where they have relatively prominent challengers. And a lot of people in Sacramento, both other candidate committees, Labor, the Democratic Party, are investing heavily in protecting these incumbents. And they are indeed safe Democratic seats. And it does have some progressive activists concerned that instead of protecting incumbents, what the party should be spending its money for is to invest in seats that are likely to be a competitive Democrat versus Republican finish. The counter argument to that is the one that a lot of people have been presenting from the more, I guess you could call it, institutional side of things, is that in the competitive races, it's almost certain for a Democrat and Republican to advance to November, then they'll spend all that money in the competitive November race, but for now, they want to protect their endorsed incumbent in the primary. But that doesn't make it any easier to swallow for the people who are supporting solid progressives who are great Democrats and wonder why all this money is being spent against them.
Finally, let's go back to the attempt by the Democratic Party to gain a supermajority in the Senate and maybe in the Assembly, in the legislature. What would that mean for California? Because currently, California is, a huge state that does have Democratic majorities, even if they don't have a supermajority to raise revenues through taxes, according to the state's rules. Shouldn't we have been seeing more progressive policies and bills coming out of our Assembly and Senate? And if the Democratic Party does control government as a whole in California, what would that mean? I mean, would we be able to have things like single-payer health care, more controlled university tuition, et cetera? I'm not particularly optimistic given Jerry Brown's recent budget proposal.
It's an interesting question. Two-thirds would matter. It would be very, very crucial, provided you have two-thirds of Democrats that would actually support raising revenues,
right?
Which is, again, in and of itself, an interesting question. But the reason two-thirds would be essential is because, yes, we would have that supermajority to be able to engender more progressive outcomes. For instance, Speaker Perez has a bill called the Middle Class Scholarship Act that would revoke corporate tax breaks that were passed in a previous budget negotiation and use that money to fund scholarships for children whose parents make less than $150,000 a year. It would cut down their costs by two-thirds. That bill is going to require a two-thirds majority. It would significantly cut the cost of education for California students, but we're going to need two-thirds to pass it. So things like that are very, very important for two-thirds. But just as importantly is the need to elect progressive legislators. And this is why just having a Democrat might not necessarily be good enough, because we see a whole bunch of legislation that doesn't make it out of committee. For instance, there's a slate of foreclosure reforms that was trying to make its way through the legislature called the Homeowners Bill of Rights, and it did not make it out of committee because we did not have enough Democrats supporting that legislation to even make it out of committee, much less bring it to the floor. So two-thirds is especially important because it will allow us to pass major pieces of legislation if we get everybody on board. But just as important, when you have these top two primaries, is to figure out not just who a Democrat is, but who a good progressive is, if that's the way you're leaning politically, because you never know how these people will vote. If you have a Democrat who is too beholden to banks to, for instance, pass the Homeowners Bill of Rights out of committee and stop foreclosures, then it doesn't really matter from that perspective whether you had a Democrat or a Republican in office. So that's why all of these things are important, not just for two-thirds, but each individual race to make sure that the more progressive candidate wins, if that's the way you're so politically inclined.
Well, Dante Atkins, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Dante Atkins is the front page editor for Calitics.com. He's also a writer at DailyCoast.com, and we'll post those links on UprisingRadio.org later today. We've been talking about the June 5th elections here in California, and we will be continuing our election coverage through June 5th.